All right, so we're going to continue the second half of Perek Mem Beis, but let's just recap. So, Baltani introduced the concept of what he calls Yiratata, and he poses the question that the Torah says, after all, what is Hashem asking you already? You know, just a little bit of fear. Right? So the Gemara says, what, fear is such an insignificant thing that you're making it sound so flippantly easy? Says the Gemara, the Gabba Moshe Milsa Zutusi. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it's small. Well, so the Baal Tanya asked the question that all the Mefarshim asked. And, well, he wasn't talking to Moshe. In fact, Moshe is the one talking to us. So he's talking to us. For us, Yira is not insignificant. So he says, first of all, that there are two levels of Moshe. Number one is that every one of us has Moshe within us. Every Jew has a concept of Das, and that is the Moshe Rabbeinu within us. The second concept of Moshe that we all have access to are the G'dayli Yisrael in each and every generation, and they have a greater manifestation of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's level two. You got a chair there, Alex? Is there a chair? I think there was a chair. Then he says, ultimately, that even though each of us has this Moshe within us, we got to go find it. And that's where the challenge presents itself. Going to find the Moshe within us is not so simple. And he says, for many of us who have secondhand souls, lower souls and so on, it takes a lot of work to get in touch with the Moshe. But nonetheless, he says, it works. And if a person is willing to occupy one's mind and really get into the thinking process, one can uncover the Moshe within him. He then said, I'm introducing you, he says, to a concept that's in Shulchan Aruch, that a person should contemplate that there is a king who's looking at us, he's watching us, and we could break through the barriers of the things that prevent us from doing so. We quoted the Chazal that says, Yigati Mitzasi Tamin, a person who toils and then finds God, you can believe him, meaning go look for it. It's not, you don't have to create it. The Ribbono Shel Olam is there, he's watching us. All right, then he said, I want you to understand that it's deeper than someone outside us watching us, but rather it's much more akin to a person who knows what's going on internally in their own body. Right? I have a splitting headache right now. Nobody has to tell me that I have a headache. I feel that I have a headache. Right? The same thing with any chilek v'aguf. We need to understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam's yediyah of us is because we are a mere extension of him. Okay? That's kind of where we left off. So we're on page 120. Right in the middle of the page, there is a semicolon. V'ni kol olam Yisrael, yiya mi shiya. Every single Jew, no matter who they are. Meaning, I don't care if they've got the greatest, most lofty soul, or they've got class B lowly souls. I don't care who they are. Kishi yizbeinin b'zeh. If a person will only allow their minds to delve into this concept of the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching us and knows what we're doing, and we're willing to do it, what he's going to refer to later on as being Tefillah Shachris, an extended period each day. What is he thinking about? He explains it to us exactly. Eich Shachadish Baruch Hu Molei Mamesh Esel Yoinim Vesatach Toinim. The fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam literally suffuses everything above and everything here below. The heavens and the earth, literally everything is suffused with his glory. What's more, the Ribbono Shel Olam perceives and he sees. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is able to pierce, to see through our kishkas, our kidneys, and our hearts, v'chol ma'isa v'diburoi, and all of our deeds, and our speech, v'chol tzadav, and every one of our steps, yispar, he can count. And if we think about that, azai tikova belibay hayira lecholayim kulay. That gives us the ability to embed into our psyche this awe, this fear for the entire day. To what degree? We're not going to be trembling all day long. What will happen is kishiyachzer v'yizbeinin b'zeh afilu b'yizbeinin iskala b'chol eisev v'chol shah yesur merav aseh toiv b'machshava dibur ma'aseh. That at any time throughout the day, we'll be able to go through it like this. It's like a kid who really hurt themselves in the morning, and then, you know, later on, all of a sudden, in the middle of the class, the kid bursts into tears. What happened? They reminded themselves, right? So for us, we have the same thing. If we, even momentarily, will be able to wake ourselves up, to go back to what really occupied our thinking in the morning, then it will assist us to be able to veer away from evil, and certainly in a time, a moment of temptation, or on the converse, a moment of lethargy, of laziness. If we're able to get back into the mindset of that extended, deep period of time that we had in the morning, then it's very easy to go back to that.
Isn't the same as the concept of Svisya Hashem
Tonight? Sure.
Same concept.
But there, well, it's but he's saying that during the initial period, that takes work to create that state of mind. Not to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemolei Kol Haaretz. Well, what is he referring to? Ukemaimer Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai LeTalmidav Kinis Baal El. Going back to the story that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's disciples asked him on his deathbed to give them a bracha. And he said, Halavai, the fear of heaven should be as real to you as the fear of other human beings. That was his bracha. So what he's saying here is that we have to work ourselves into the mindset. And then from that point on, all we need to do is have in mind, you know, kind of this mashal of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that somebody's watching. Now he defines it. Vihi yiritata anal. The fact that somebody's watching, it's a very interesting interpretation into yiritata, meaning we normally translate yiritata as fear of punishment. He's not defining it that way. He hasn't mentioned punishment a single time here. He's saying yiritata is somebody's watching. Don't stray or stay on course because there's a being who's watching. That's his definition of yiritata. Now it goes back to answer the question he opened with last week. Uligabe Moshe. And for Moshe Rabbeinu, vis-a-vis Moshe, Hainu ligabe b'chinas hadas shebechol nefesh mi Yisrael lo elikis. Not just for Moshe Rabbeinu, but for any Jew who is in a mindset, who's aroused, who's awakened his Moshe within him. Milsa Zutasi, you know. This concept of God's watching is really no big deal. So if we're able to get ourselves into that mindset of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is watching, that is the Yirat HaTov. Moshe Rabbeinu, that's no great accomplishment. In brackets, last line of the page. Shadas hu amikasher. Mitzpayne binas halev. It is this concept of das, this terminology called das, connection, which connects the internal understanding of one's heart, elbchinas gilui, to a revealed place b'machshava mamish kiyudu liyadechein, as is known to those who know the secrets. Now he throws in another, just a very beautiful, practical thought. Again, these are all very practical things. Somebody's watching, okay? Nothing Kabbalistic about it. Simple level. Shulchan Aruch. You don't act the same way when you know somebody's watching as when you don't know somebody's watching, right? That's step number one. Here's step number two. Top of Samach Aleph. Ve'oidzois Yizkor. I want you to remember one other thing. Ki kemoish shebemelech basa v'dam. just like with a king of flesh and blood. Ikir hayirahu mipnimiusai v'chiyusai. What do we fear with a king? We fear the life source, the true existence of the king. We're not afraid of his body. I'll prove it to you, he says. Sharei kishiyashan, when he's asleep and his body's there, ain't shum girimim, and nobody's afraid of the king when he's asleep. So we're afraid of the king's life. Now, he says, I'll tell you an interesting thing. No one has ever seen the king's life. None of us have ever seen the king's life force, his neshama. The only way we perceive the reality of this existence, the personality of the king, the true essence of the king, is we have to use our intellect. We look at this person, he's moving, he's talking, he's acting. We say, obviously, it's not his body, it's his life force. That's what we fear. But that's already an intellectual observation about who the real king is. When we look at the king, his body, his clothing, that we know that his life force is contained in those garments, in that body. He says, use that as a mashal. Use the fear of the human king as a parable for God, meaning the imkain kocha mamish, so too literally, yesh loy lira es Hashem, we should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ayderias enei basa b'shamayim v'aretz v'chal tzavam. We should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu by looking out in the heaven and the earth and in all of his creations. What's sustaining them? What's giving those things? When we look at a king of a body, we see his arm moving, we see his leg, he's signing documents into law. So what's creating at that moment? It's the life of the king. Well, what's keeping this entire universe going? What's giving chiyus to this? What the spring outside? What's the chiyus? We can look out, and just like our intellect tells us about a physical human being that is who he is, we should be able to look out at nature, at the physical world, and see the Rebbeinu Shlom creating it at this moment.
It seems a lack that we don't have a physical
king. Yeah.
That's the world, though.
It's getting worse. Saying. No, he's saying that we don't have the mushel of a king. Even though we're looking out at a world and it's so densely obstructed with so many barriers, right? We're looking out at the tree. How many people think of the Rebbeinu Shlom? There's so many barriers in front of it. There's nature, and then there's, you know, there's all the different trappings. But aray, ein hevdil v'hefrish klal b'yiras melech basav adam. He says, we're not stupid. There's no distinction when it comes to fearing a king. Bein shu arum, whether the king is naked, bein shu lavash levush echad, or he's dressed in one robe, bein shu lavash b'levushim rabim, or he's dressed with his pelts, with his fur coat. Does it make a difference to us in our level of fear of the king? Do we fear him more in one way or another? No, of course not. We recognize that that's the king. Inside of those garments is the king. So what we really need to focus on is habit. What is our habitual thinking pattern? Lahargil daitoi umachshavtoi tomid. We need to accustom. We need to train our minds and our thoughts constantly. Lies kavua belibay umoichai tomid. That we embed constantly in our hearts and in our thinking. Asher kol ma sheroye be'enav. Everything we see, we behold with our eyes. Hashamayim, the heavens, varetz, and the earth, and loy, and everything in it. Hakol hem levushim achitzonim shalom melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should look at the world and see it as a huge fur coat. Everything we see is a levush. It's all a garment of the king. That's how we need to change our perspective of how we look out at the world. Take a look at the footnote. It's an interesting footnote. V'gam nire b'riyas ha'ayin. He says, what's more, aside from just looking out at the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlom obviously sustains them all, but we can even see with the naked eye. Shem b'teilim l'oiro yizbarach, that they are nullified to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'yishtachavosam kol yoyim klape mayriv b'shkiyosam, the fact that they bow down to the west when they set, k'mayim b'chazal al-posik b'tzvah shamayim l'chom mishtachmim, that all of the heavenly beings bow down to you, she'ashchina b'mayriv, that the shchin is in the west, v'nimtza hilucham kol yoyim klape mayriv hu, comes out that the way that the Tzva Shemayim, the sun and the moon and the stars and so on, they're all moving towards, they're all bowing towards the west. So we should see it, just another, he's giving us another hook to be able to train our minds to look out at God's nature and see it as a godly levush, that it, everything that's going on up there is going on in the form of a bow, of a prostration. He says, beautiful. Even somebody who never saw the king. Okay, they never saw the body of the king. I wouldn't know who he is. But afal pikein, despite that, kishenichnis lechotzer ha-melech, anybody who's ever been in the courtyard of the king, and you see prominent officers, prominent government people, and you see them, you see them all bowing down to somebody, the person will be overcome with tremendous trembling. There are places that you go into that are imposing. They generate that kind of awe. So even if you don't know who the king is, but if you see everybody around them trembling, you know that whoever they're trembling in front of is worth the awe. So too, when we see the sun and the moon and the constellations and all those things bowing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbe Shem did it to wake us up to the fact that there is a being there that's supposed to catch our attention. Okay, now, so number one was God's watching. Number two is everything we see in the world is the king in a levush, is the king in a concealment. Now, V'al Yedeza, three lines under the footnote. V'al Yedeza, if we train ourselves to think this way about nature, Yizker tomid al pnimiyusam v'chiyusam, instead of looking at the world in its external manifestations, we will come to look at the world for their true depth and their true existence. Look what he does now. V'zeh nichlal gamkein v'loshen emuna. This concept that I'm telling you, to start looking at the world differently, to gaze at the world and to perceive it as being a levush of the king, is the concept of emunah. What's the relationship? Shuloshen regilus. He tells us here that the word emunah means to train yourself. Shemargil adam es atzmei kemoi uman hama'amen yada v'chulu. It's like the language that we find a craftsman who is crafting, who's training his hands. So he's saying here, you know what emunah is? Emunah is not faith. Emunah is not belief. Emunah is being margil oneself, to train oneself, to create a habit of looking at the world in its true manifestation, which is that the Ribbono Shel Olam creates everything moment by moment. That's emunah. Emunah is train your thought pattern. That's what emunah is. So that was number two. Number two is to change the way we look at the world. Number three. Begam liyos lizikaron tamid loshen chazal. He says one must also maintain constantly in their mind, to remember constantly the language of Chazal, which is Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shamayim. accepting upon oneself the yoke of heaven. What does that mean? There's a mitzvah in the Torah. Mitzvah is to coronate a king upon yourself. Now that mitzvah is a mitzvah incumbent upon Klal Yisrael. Here he's saying that it says it in Lashon Yachid. It says it to each and every individual, which means Soim Tosim Olach HaMelech, appoint for you individually a king, a master, over yourself. What does that mean? How are we supposed to make him Melech? He says, Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meniach Es Elyonim V'Tachtonim. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam leaves behind all of the heavenly beings, and all the lower beings, and all the angels, and everybody. He never does, none of them are called his nation. He designates himself as the God of Klal Yisrael. So he accepts us as his subjects. The Anachno, turn the page, Mikablim, and we accept upon ourselves, O Malchus Shemayim, Malchus being the critical word that he's trying to say here. We appoint ourselves as the subject of how? By appointing him as king. So there's a simultaneous, we define ourselves as his servants, and at the same time we accept upon ourselves his kingship. V'zeu inyin ha'yishtachavoy shebetfilas yudches. This is why we bow in Shmoneh Esrei. What's the point? He says, "Ach, Hakabbalas O Malchus Hashemayim b'Dibur b'Krishma." What did we just do? We just read the Shema in Shachris and in Ma'ariv. In Shema, we're Mekabel Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven with speech, and hopefully, in thought. In Shmoneh Esrei, we act it out. We do it in physical form. We bow down physically. So we're acting out in Shemoneh Esrei what we spoke about and what we thought about in Shema. We bring it to fruition in physical form in Shemoneh Esrei. Lachzor ulekabel b'poil mamish b'mayasig mesh k'sav dibach. It's the exercise of physically accepting upon ourselves the Olmach HaShemayim in Shemoneh Esrei. So in Krishma and in Krishma, we do it in thought and in speech. And in Shemoneh Esrei, it starts with a Hishtach of a Baruch Ata, with a bow. That is Kabbalah Salmach Shemayim. It's accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven. So, one of the things that I in looking this over today, I noticed that he said, we mentioned this yesterday, to see Ezu Chacham. One of the things we should contemplate is Chacham Harayas Anoyled. Who is the wise person? Where was it here? It was somewhere here in this parak. So, normally, most people translate that Ezu Chacham Harayas Anoyled means who is a wise person, a person who can foresee what's going to be born. But that's a mistranslation. The point of Ezu Chacham Harayas Anoyled, according to the way he's defining it, who is a wise person? A person who's wise is the person who can see that everything around him is a Noilad, that it is the result of a creator. Didn't come to it. It didn't happen on its own. Everything, you know what a wise person is? It's a chacham harayas anoyled. Wow. You know, you look at a person, you say, there must have been parents. Right? He didn't pop out of an egg somewhere. So too, a real chacham is a person who looks around at the world and looks at everything and says, if there's something here, there's a creator. That's a chacham. That's how he defined Emunah. Emunah is a person who trains the thought pattern. They say about him, about the Baal Tanya, that at the end of his life, he was able to train himself to such a degree where rather than seeing things in their physical manifestation, he literally saw the letters with which each of these objects were created. So when he looked at, you know, substance, he saw the letters of the creation of that substance rather than seeing the physical form. And that's a step closer to reality, because that's what's really, that's a real chacham. It's a reis anelli. He sees the oisias that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using to bring that into existence at that moment. All right, so we will